Hey folks, your OS reviews. You're watching our throwback review of the Nexus 4. This is a phone that came out in 2012 and was part of the flagship Nexus series, which has since been replaced by the Pixel line. But here, as we head into 2017, we'll be discussing whether or not this phone is still a worthwhile buy if you can find it for relatively cheap online through third-party vendors. So again, this phone was created in collaboration between Google and LG, and one of the benefits of purchasing any Nexus phone is the software support that you'll have down the road. Although it's no longer rocking the latest and greatest Android 7.0, the phone itself has still been upgraded to version 5.1.1 Lollipop, which is sufficient for most people's tasks and uses in 2017. Underneath the hood, we still have a pretty respectable processor as well as a performance package as well. It's clocking in a 1.5 GHz quad-core chip, which is the Snapdragon S4 Pro. It's not as fast as the 800 series, but still does quite a good job for most day-to-day tasks, and it's very comparable to most mid-end phones you'll find new in stores here in 2016-2017. Otherwise, there's a 4.7-inch 720p display, so not quite 1080p, unfortunately, but still good enough, crafted out of a Corning Gorilla Glass on the top for protection, and it has a slight curve on the edges as well as the sides, which makes for gestures as well as swiping between screens a bit more enjoyable than just a traditional flat display. Otherwise, we have access to an 8-megapixel autofocus-enabled camera on the back, next to a single LED flash, and a very interesting glitter effect if you tilt the phone at slight angles. And the build quality here is excellent. It feels substantial, it feels solid, and it has stood up well to the test of time. In terms of connectivity, we do have all the options on board from Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, GPS, 4G. It's an unlocked GSM phone, which means that you can take it with you overseas when traveling, pop in a SIM card, and you're ready to go. However, one area of that's a little bit limited on here is built-in storage. There's only a 8 or 16 gigabyte non-expandable storage capacity versions on the market. So if you want to expand beyond that for media or for applications, you may have to rely on cloud storage or Google Drive. So that's something to keep in mind. It doesn't have as large as a capacity as many modern day phones. Otherwise, there's also Qi or wireless charging built in that's on top of the 2100 milliamp hour capacity battery on the very back. So you can simply pop it onto a supported wireless charger and you're ready to go. No wires are needed. And there's also, of course, NFC on board for tap to share as well as other wallet functionalities. So if we turn on the phone really quickly, we can see that, again, we have a stock install of Android that's since been, as aforementioned, updated to Lollipop version 5.1.1. And we are greeted to a pretty traditional experience that's been customized with your favorite Google applications on the top here, a drawer that's dedicated to your Gmail, Google+, YouTube, Google Drive, Maps, Photos, and other selected apps. There's also a Google Play Store app that's been placed here by default next to a selection of other Google apps, including Hangouts, which is going to take advantage of that front-facing camera for video chatting with friends and family members, along with a Chrome browser and also a camera app that's been slightly tweaked by Google. So for people who don't know, this particular application is quite clean and easy to use. On the bottom here, we have access to a drawer of tasks that I can turn on or off, such as HDR, grids, self-timers, the flash, and also swapping between the front and the rear-facing cameras. To access more features, I simply swipe from the edge of the display, and that opens up more functions such as lens blur, panorama shots, or photo sphere. So lens blur is a pretty cool effect, however it requires a bit more of a precise alignment process. Essentially, if you have an object in front of you which is about 5 feet or closer, you can just focus on that one object and blur out everything else in the background. So it uses software tricks to create and simulate the experience you might find on the HTC M9, for instance, or other phones with dual camera setups that creates a sense of depth in your photos. So it's, again, something that's interesting to see here. There's also panorama, photo sphere, and more settings can be found by tweaking in the advanced menu. Overall, as far as camera functionality goes, the Nexus 4 is still a good camera. However, I can't say that it's the best camera anymore. Photos in general capture a good amount of light, and they're well saturated and balanced. HDR works fairly well, but they're not the sharpest in the world just because 8 megapixels is a bit below the standard today of 13 or 20 megapixels you might find in more flagship devices, but it still does a very decent job. You only lose some of that detail if you zoom all the way in and you see some of the edges get a bit softer, but all in all, a really good camera, and the front-facing one also captures enough light so you can still enjoy it under darker environments when you are video chatting. So here's a few more shots I captured out at night, and you can see that it works fairly well even under low light environments. So again, for this price point that you'll now be finding it at, which is around $60 for the phone, it really is a decent camera for that price point. So some other things we'll quickly take note of. As far as the display is concerned, at 4.7 inches, it's not the largest in the world. We really see 5 inches as a norm now for flagship devices, and it's also partially taken up by virtual on-screen controls down below here. However, something I like about the Nexus 4 is the aspect ratio. It's not exactly as elongated as screens on more modern phones. So as a brief point of comparison, I have an HTC device that you can see here, and the screen itself, although technically larger, it is a bit more stretched, so it's a bit more towards that 16:9 aspect ratio you'll find on Android tablets, for instance, whereas on here, it's closer to a square or gets more squished down, and as a result, you actually have a larger surface area to play around with, closer to that 4:3 aspect ratio that you'll find on the iPad, for instance, which makes watching videos as well as reading longer articles and browsing the web a bit more enjoyable. So in reality, the screen itself is actually quite nice still in 2017. Viewing angles on the display are also quite good. You'll see that you don't have any issues as far as tilting the screen and still seeing content, and it's bright enough to also be read under moderate lighting conditions outdoors. So a pretty good display all in all. So other things that you can see here by swiping down the navigation drawer, the notification drawer, is access to the flashlight, which uses the LED flash on the back as a torch. That works pretty well. Location services, I can also cast the display to a Wi-Fi supported smart TV, for instance, to mirror screen content. And there's also the ability to toggle Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and brightness controls on or off. As far as browsing the web using Wi-Fi, it's actually a pretty enjoyable experience. The antenna on here is extremely strong, and there were no issues as far as connecting to a router or to a Wi-Fi hotspot. So doing a quick browser test, it still is a pretty fast experience. So if you want to type in New York Times as a benchmark of a pretty complex page, we'll see how long that takes to load. We are a little bit further from the base at the moment, but it should still work. Let's try opening up this application. So again, the processing package underneath the hood is that quad-core 1.5 gigahertz processor, the S4 Pro, which is again last generation, but as far as differences between this and something like the Nexus 5, which is rocking the Snapdragon 800, it's quite minimal. You'll find a 1 to 2 second maybe difference if you open up too many apps, but really with a 2 gigabytes of built-in RAM underneath the hood, it still is quite comparable to most modern day mid-tier phones. So not really too many differences as far as the overall experience you'll find as far as web browsing is concerned. So it's going to take a few seconds longer to load up New York Times, but you see that all the elements are fully rendered, including the ads as well as the interactive elements that you can slide through. Some are taking a few seconds longer, but pinch to zoom works, text automatically reflows, and again, it makes for a very enjoyable reading experience. One of the benefits of using Chrome as the browser is the ability to have tabs that you can open up and swap between, and of course, a more comfortable experience that you can sync up between this version on your mobile device as well as the one that you'll find on your desktop, for instance. So it's a bit more cohesive if you're tied into the entire Google ecosystem. Other elements of the phone, I think, are pretty self-explanatory. Since it's a very stock device, you won't find any surprises here. As long as you've seen an Android phone before, you'll be right at home. And again, performance here is quite good. As long as you aren't opening up too many graphically intensive games and apps at the same time, you won't really find any issues. GPS worked well, call quality has always been consistent and great, even outdoors since it has noise cancellation, so those aren't issues that will change with time. Here's the multitasking drawer. I can open up your apps. You can see some slight delay here and there, but really, overall, as far as general tasks are concerned, no issues at all. So overall, that's been a throwback review of the Nexus 4. I think it's still a fairly compelling phone as we head into 2017. It's a beautiful device with its curved display on the front, as well as a mirrored and textured glass surface on the back, and it's still fully featured as far as connectivity options are concerned. Yes, it's no longer packing the most powerful hardware and internals underneath the hood, but all in all, it still is a pretty good phone for under $60 now if you can find it used online. And compared with new phones you might get as prepaid packages for the same price, I still think that this one does perform slightly better, both in terms of the build as well as the general performance you get with the RAM as well as the built-in processor. So really, still quite a usable phone here in 2017. And of course, there are a few other reasons why you might want to consider picking up a Nexus 4. It is one of the phones that supports the Ubuntu mobile operating system. So for people who want to tweak as well as root and more customize their phones, this might be a good option to consider picking up, because the community that's supporting this device is still vast. And there's numerous tips as well as blogs that you can find online that documents that process. Otherwise, it's still a beautiful piece of hardware. And again, at this really reduced price point, it's still, I think, a worthwhile device overall that you won't really regret picking up in 2017. So thanks for watching this retro throwback review here at OS Reviews. This has been the Nexus 4.